I mean, in our industry, the pace of digital transformation and then the shifting needs of our learners mean that what works today may not be effective tomorrow. So for me, adaptability or professional agility isn't just a nice to have anymore. It's really a crucial skill that's needed for success.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward. Here's your host, Leanne Lankford.
Hi, welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, the podcast where we interview learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm your host, Leanne Lankford. I'm the president of Training Pros. Training Pros is an L&D staffing company where we put contractors to work with L&D leaders. We like to say at Training Pros, when you have more projects than people, let us find you the talent to start your projects with confidence. I am really pleased to have as my guest today, Jessica Siminski. She's the Director of Learning and Performance at Nationwide. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi, Leanne. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We are really excited to have you. I'm just going to jump right in and ask you to introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us in 60 seconds who you are and what you do.
Excellent. So again, I'm Jessica Siminski, and I am the Director of Learning and Performance for the Sales Development and Training team at Nationwide Financial. So I get to lead a team of learning and design consultants that build and design learning solutions for our sales teams with a goal to influence behavior and ultimately, hopefully, improve business results. And we support three main pillars for our sales associates: onboarding, sales technology training, and sales skills training. And we get to make some really cool and fun things. Our solutions run the gamut from simple learning aids to interactive computer-based training, CBT modules. And those can include full production videos or animation work as we think about how we can simplify complex information and increase engagement for our learners. And we actually have an in-office studio where we shoot training videos, and sometimes we even get to hire actors, hair, and makeup to carry out a vision that we have for training, which is really fun.
That sounds so interesting. I really wish I could just dig in and take a look at all you, because that sounds so cool. I used to work, my first training job was before anybody had computers at work, basically the administrative assistants, and that's it. So we did a lot of training videos because they could pop a video in, and then, and so we would hire actors. We'd have the whole, the lighting guy, the whole, and it was a big production.
Yes, it is. It's a lot of fun. And I've got a really great team.
Fabulous. In fact, you can see my Telly Awards behind me.
I know about the Telly Awards. Yes.
For training. And those are from the 90s. So that tells you how
awesome.
So what first attracted you to the field of learning and development?
Yeah, well, growing up, I did always want to be a teacher. But then as you know, 17, 18 years old, when it was time to pick a major for college, I went the business route instead. And after college, I ended up in sales, as many do. But I never lost the passion for helping people, whether it's just helping someone solve a problem, learn something new, or achieve a goal. It's just tremendously rewarding, and I really like doing it. So about 6 years into my sales career, I was working for a higher education publishing company as an inside sales rep. And this was at a time when the colleges were transitioning a lot from the standard textbooks to ebooks and online courseware. And I found that my favorite part of the sales process was post-sale, when I was able to train the professors on how to set up that online courseware in a way that can drive toward the intended outcomes for their students. And ultimately, I was able to pivot into a role that allowed me to do that full time, where I was facilitating training and building self-help training materials for instructors. And that was my real start into the L&D space.
That's a great story. I love that you were able to hold on to your education, but still take your experience in business and then turn it into this great career in L&D.
Yes, it allows me the best of both worlds.
Yes, fabulous. So you've been in learning and development for a while. What are the biggest changes you've seen in the last 3 to 5 years?
Oh, goodness. I guess I would be remiss. I don't think any of us can look through LinkedIn feeds or even turn on the news without seeing something to do with something that we can do new with generative AI. Even though that's really just come on the market in the last couple of years, I'd have to hone in on its impact to L&D. And it's really been a whirlwind over the past 2 years. So I started hearing rumbling about it at the end of 2022, but I didn't mess with it. I didn't look into it or really start experimenting until, you know, well into 2023. And really in that early time, just trying to figure out what all we can do with it. Like, how does it work? How do you harness the power of one of the large language models to do something with it in a professional setting? But over the past year, you know, I've spent a lot of time learning and upskilling and have learned some tips and tricks on how to write more effective prompts to get better responses in something like ChatGPT. And that's really been a game changer in the learning, design, and development process. And at Nationwide, our motto is around generative AI is to keep a human in the loop, or we say human in the lead. But it's really created efficiencies by giving our designers a good jumping off point to edit and mold. It's been really effective in helping to create assessments, FAQ documents, course outlines, even a list of learner outcomes or learning evaluation survey questions that we can use. And I know that we're only really just scratching the surface of its potential at this point as well.
I think you're right. I feel like I have to join in on some kind of webinar or meeting once a week just to keep up with all the new things that can be done with generative AI in our field.
Absolutely.
I've watched some amazing demonstrations of creating an entire course following maybe using Gagne's 9 events of learning or instruction along with Bloom's taxonomy and all this. And then all of a sudden at the end of it, they had the full thing with the objective and the how we're going to test it and the course out content outline. And I was like, wow.
Yes, it is amazing. It's definitely a game changer.
Definitely is. So I think I know where this is going, but where do you think we're headed in the next 5 years?
Yes. It's hard not to make the whole thing now about Gen AI, but it's hard to imagine, really, just knowing how things have evolved over the past couple of years. It's hard to think, hey, in 5 to 10 years, where could we be? But, you know, if we stay in that Gen AI space, you know, I kind of focused on what we've done today has been a lot more around how we can use the tool internally to develop and design learning experiences. But when I think about the future, I really think about the learner journey and the associate experience and how Gen AI will play into that. Because I think as we look at future generations of employees, you know, they will consider, I mean, at some point in time, leveraging Gen AI tools as normal as we're using a calculator today for quick math problems or a laptop to be mobile to work. L&D professionals, we need to start thinking about how we're going to lean in. How do we create and curate learning experiences where Gen AI tools are leveraged within the learning process to really help more self-directed and personalized learning for our associates? And that's where I get really excited. You know, I think about the potential to truly personalize learning experiences using Gen AI as almost a personal tutor for learners, where we can start to tailor lessons that fits every individual's pace and their learning style. I can imagine an onboarding program where each associate gets a learning plan that's as unique as their fingerprint. The amount and level of content that we can adjust in real time can ensure that they're always challenged with just the right amount, where it's not too easy, it's not too hard, but really like just right for that individual learner. And then I also think about how do we start prepping our workforces for the shift in human work? So as we think Gen AI is being applied more to generative tasks, then that means that human work is going to shift to more of that critical integration of the AI output. So how do we take the AI output and think critically, which is going to re- require a lot of expertise and judgment on our associates' part. So I think L&D, you know, one of the challenges that we'll have is how do we bolster critical thinking skills within our associates? And then how do we focus some more development around the true value and the potential of our human workers in the context of thinking about a bionic human machine team? So to me, you know, as we were saying, like AI, it's not just like a fleeting trend. I think it's a really powerful wave that's reshaping the educational landscape. So I think it's a bright future ahead. It's a little bit nerve-wracking to see where things may go, but I can't wait to see where the journey takes us.
I can't wait. And I'm also rushing to try to keep up with the journey that we're on with AI. So it's amazing.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
All right, let's shift gears. What skill do you think is the most important to seek in talent right now?
Yeah, and you just mentioned it. I mean, in our industry, the pace of digital transformation and then the shifting needs of our learners mean that what works today may not be effective tomorrow. So for me, adaptability or professional agility isn't just a nice to have anymore. It's really a crucial skill that's needed for success. We need team members who can pivot quickly, who can learn new tools as they come up and adjust strategies based off of that as new technologies or new methodologies start to emerge. We need to be able to embrace experimentation with things that are outside of their comfort zone and even be willing to let go of some bias of what they may have thought made an effective or a quality piece of training before. And then really leaning into being okay to fail. You know, as things result in failure when we're doing more experimentation, I mean, the more risks that we take, the more chances that we're going to have to fail. But take it, the ability to learn from that experience and iterate quickly is really important. Mm. And you mentioned it, like the pace of change is overwhelming today, but really it's slower now than it's ever going to be again in our future. So we have our work cut out for us, you know, to keep up, and having teams that can adapt are going to be a lot better equipped to handle the challenges along the way that we'll face, but also seize those new opportunities as they arise.
You definitely nailed a very important characteristic or skill to have. Adaptability is absolutely critical. And the way we've had to adapt just in the last 5 years has been amazing. And you're right, it's going to get harder and harder. It's going to get more and more. We need to learn how to hone that skill and make sure that we're always looking at how can I adapt? How can I be open to something new? How can I let go of the past? Those are great observations. Where do you get your industry news and information?
My go-to resource is definitely LinkedIn. It's actually truly my favorite social media app, period, to scroll. I join communities with learning professionals where we can exchange ideas. I can read about the latest learning strategies and technologies that are coming into play. But I also try to follow thought leaders. So thought leaders in learning, financial services for my work, and then just emerging technology in general. My feed is always full of interesting articles and posts that really help me stay on top of things, gain insight, and stay connected with the learning and development trends. And then I'm also a really big fan of LinkedIn Learning. So if I need to learn something new or sharpen my skills, you know, that's definitely a go-to source. It's where I went over this past year to really learn more about prompting, large language model. And these courses are also a really great place to find some of those thought leaders that you might follow because they are facilitating some of these courses.
So I agree with you wholeheartedly. One of the things I do love about my LinkedIn feed, it's what I've wanted, it's what I've asked to see you raise things up in your feed by interacting with somebody's posts, you can choose which people, which influencers, which thought leaders you're reading the information from. But what I really love about it is it's given me an aggregate of what everybody's talking about today. I don't have to know what they're talking about each day. I can go in and say, oh, today they're talking about this. I need to learn more about this.
Absolutely. Yes. I love it.
Yes, I love it. And the politics are out of it. The personal stuff is out of it. It's just business. And I love that.
Yes.
So what book would you recommend to anyone wanting to be a learning leader?
All right. So the book I'm going to recommend is really for any leader, but I do think those in L&D are going to appreciate how they can apply what they learn from the book to learning design as well. So the book is Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin, and it provides an interesting perspective to understand behavior and motivations of people, which is crucial for a leader who needs to motivate a diverse team. So the book explores a framework and it categorizes people into four categories, four tendencies, based on how they respond to expectations, which could be, you know, those external expectations like work deadlines or even internal personal goals that are set. So we've got upholders, questioners, obligers, and rebels. And for me, being able to recognize my team's tendencies has helped me communicate a little more effectively. And it allows me to tailor my approach to coaching. So when I'm trying to drive better engagement and ultimately better productivity, I know how to tailor that approach. For example, I know I need to set really clear deadlines for my upholders. I need to spend a lot more time on explaining the why for my questioners. I need to create an external accountability for my obligers and then giving my rebels a lot more autonomy and decision-making in their own work. And I think you can probably start to make those connections, and it helps for leaders with their own team. But then if you think an L&D leader, they can really take this concept a step further and think about the implication of these tendencies in our learners and how we think about learning design and delivery that takes that into account, all of these. So I really enjoyed the book, and I think it'll give leaders some food for thought and maybe even some new ways to think about their teams and their learner audiences.
I love it. Definitely going on my book list. I keep a nice Audible account going so I can listen to these business books that are recommended. I've not read that one before. I automatically started categorizing myself, and I don't know where I fall, but I'm guessing already.
Yes,
I would be in the rebel category.
Yep. And you can use this for your family too. I have to say that I've been able to think about my spouse and where my children are. And so, you know, you can use it for family dynamics too.
That's a really good point. My children are grown and gone. Yeah, but definitely, I think that it sounds like an interesting book and I can't wait to read it myself. Jessica, you have been an amazing guest. You've given us a lot of food for thought. I've enjoyed interviewing you. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be a guest on our podcast today. Well, that's it for this episode of Learning Leader Spotlight. We hope you join us for next week's episode. And thank you again, Jessica.
Thanks, Leanne.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.